Welcome to the Resound Worship Songwriting Podcast, episode 138. I'm Sam Hargreaves.
I'm Andrew Findon.
I'm Emma Billington.
And I'm James Martin.
And this is a podcast to equip and inspire grassroots songwriters serving their local church and beyond. In this episode, we'll look back over the first half of the July 12 Song Challenge, where we tried to write remakes, spin-offs and sequels, as well as set a new challenge for August. Hello, everybody.
Hi, Sam.
I feel so giddy.
You feel giddy? Is this your first podcast?
Yeah, this is my first podcast.
Is it?
Oh,
yes.
Wow. Just want to shout out to my mum. Say hi.
Hi, James's mum.
I've never been so excited. Oh. I finally made it.
You're joking. I should come to Wigan. Wigan's really exciting.
Oh, man. I've heard about the kebabs.
Yeah, they're good. They are good.
Mm. Sounds like my kind of place.
How are the birds, as in the feathery ones, in Wigan?
In Wigan. Yeah. Oh, they're amazing. Yeah, we see birds here that I didn't used to see in London. Yeah, it's great.
Oh, snap.
Yeah, really good. Really good.
James is there.
That's all you need. Kebabs and birds. That's it.
Yeah.
You need that on a t-shirt, James.
I have it already, actually.
Excellent.
Well, as you can probably hear, we are missing Joel today. So we're sending him all our love. And we are also, we're going to be upfront with you. We're recording this quite early in the month because it's coming into holiday season, and so in order to get a podcast at all for August, we decided to record it fairly early. So yeah, just to be up front, when we review the challenge, it will be really just the first couple of weeks of the challenge. So we're sure that lots of other things have happened since then, but if you're part of the challenge, then you can pop on Song Club and you can obviously have a look around for yourself. Want to chat about the month so far, and we're also going to be setting a new challenge. Before we do that, we normally do a little bit of catch up. Hopefully a lot of you have seen already, but got to interview a lady called Breen Marie, who is the current chair of a group called Song Music That Makes Community. And I got introduced to her through a couple of people when I was at the Messy Church conference, and they said, you really, really need to meet this person and get in touch with them. And I was like, their whole thing is called Music That Makes Community. That really does sound like it overlaps with what we're doing in the last, you know, a couple of months ago, but particularly this whole year, we're having this focus on songs and, you know, not just songs that talk about community, but songs that form community. And that's their whole bag. And they've been doing that for quite a few years over in the States. So had any of you come across them before?
No.
No, I haven't.
No, me neither. I don't think they're kind of necessarily in our circles, but yeah, I found that a really interesting conversation. Did anyone have a chance to hear that yet?
Not yet. I'll be listening though.
I'm sorry, Sam.
To be honest, I only just finished listening to last month's podcast this morning.
Yeah, like, well, do check it out.
I better do that. I better get that.
We will. Yeah.
Yeah.
It wasn't
in
the homework.
No, do check it out. It did kind of pop up randomly. It was a really nice chat. She's got loads of great experience as an organization. They've got tons of great experience and just, yeah, really interesting approach to leading songs, writing songs, but also the way their whole organization is structured is all around community. So I think there's lots of things we can learn there. Andrew, what's been going on for you?
Yeah, so I've been in the States end of last month for IWS, Institute for Worship Studies, where I started doctoral program.
Ooh.
Yeah, it's kind of scary. That was great. We had our first intensive, so that's a week of intensive classes, getting to know our classmates and kind of kicking off the semester as a community. That's part of the process there. It was great. And there was a shout out to Amy Smith, 12 Song Challenger, who was in my cohort. We discovered each other and decided, okay, we've got to write a song while we're here as our community.
Oh, cool.
So that was quite fun. Yeah.
Good one.
Yeah.
I've heard from Geraldine that there's a lot of reading to do for that course.
There is, yes. if I panned my camera to the side, you'd see a stack of books that I'm going through right now.
Oh, blessings on your reading. Emma, how about you? What's the latest in the Billington household?
Well, the latest, I retired at Christmas from paid work. So life is really busy and full with loads of church stuff and music and whatever. But the most recent event of great excitement is we have two kittens in our household. And they are beautiful and wild and crazy and have brought us a lot of joy. So, it's great.
Lovely.
Nice.
Yeah.
That's great. And how about you, James?
It's been sort of busy with lots of little things going on church-wise. I feel like my writing all came out at Wydell, and now I have like a bit of an empty cup writing-wise, which is fine. I'm just waiting. I haven't yet posted for the month before this one, so need to get on that. But it's just busy and up with summer things coming up and school slowly coming to an end. I work in primary school, so got another week or so of that. So looking forward to the space of the summer holidays to crack on with some other stuff too. It'll be fun.
Good stuff. Okay, well, let's get into the challenge review for July. And we were doing remakes, spin-offs and sequels. That's what it was, which I thought was a really, really fun challenge. And it immediately got a load of things going in my mind. So how did you guys find this so far, or what's been your reflection so far about this challenge?
I've really enjoyed just looking through all the things people have posted so far and reading their reasons for why they've gone for particular songs. And there's been a real sense of a freedom to choose and a real joy in being able to choose the song and rework or write something from it. So for myself, I've also not posted for this month yet, and I've really been inspired by looking at other people's posts.
Yeah, it was really fun just to kind of go down the list and see a song, like, you know, the title of what they're basing it or jumping on off from, and like, oh, I really love that song. I wonder what they've done.
Yeah.
That was really cool.
Yeah, I think the thing I've noticed in our group and a little bit through the list of everyone's songs is that a lot of people went for the hymn thing almost, but it's not like a reworked hymn. It's not like, oh, here's a hymn, and we just sort of like modernized it and changed the rhythm and all that kind of stuff. It's like just allowing yourself to be inspired by it, but then completely not only just inspired by it lyrically and making something new, but also then changing the vibe and changing the genre. I think it's a really good chance for creativity, and looking forward to see more of what comes out as we go through the month.
Yeah, totally. I mean, I feel like, if we're honest, most of us are already inspired by other songs, aren't we? We kind of you know, whether it's at the forefront of our mind or a little bit in the background. And so this is just being really kind of upfront about that and just saying, hey, let's be, you know, overt about the fact that we're being inspired by a song. But yeah, I love that sense of also kind of spinning off a small idea of the song. That's a really, feels quite fresh. Great. So we're going to share a few of the songs that we have spotted in our groups. I'll start with the one from James and my group, from Team Stilton, Go the Cheesies. We have in our group Destiny Charles, who's a wonderful songwriter from America. She always posts something brilliant, always kind of working on her stuff and trying to improve it. And she got inspired by one of her favourite City of Light songs called In the Valley. And so she has tried to write a song like that. And then she's got input from her mum. This is really wonderful. So have a listen to this.
Thank you.
It's clear that she's taken the City of Light inspiration, but in terms of the style and the melody, I feel like melody-wise, it's super accessible,
yeah,
and super singable, and some great keys playing too. So yeah, really, really enjoyed that. Didn't have anything to say about it, but it was really good.
I love that line. He makes me strong when I can't hold on. And I've listened to Destiny's songs before, and I think she has such a way with lyrics. So yeah, I love it.
Yeah,
just a great combination of those really strong rhymes and the really strong little melodic motifs that repeat. Yeah, it makes it really singable. Yeah.
Great stuff. Andrew, what have you brought us?
Yeah, so I've brought from Eric Sparks, with Team Yorkshire. Rebecca and I picked this one out, and it's called Prone to Wander. And you can probably guess the hymn that it's inspired by from Come Thou Fount. And he talks about, he's based it on what he says, an unverified anecdote about the writer who apparently did kind of wander and fall away and had a conversation with a young woman who didn't realize he was the writer, and started talking about how she loved this hymn, and he kind of lamented, yeah, I wish that I felt that again. And she said to him, apparently, the streams of mercy are still flowing. And so that's the jumping off point that Eric's taken to write this hymn inspired by Come Thou Fount. Nice.
God I love, weary heart with idols weighted, blind to mercy from above. All my riches could not buy me what I knew when I first came. I would give a thousand kingdoms just to feel that love again. In the silence I remember how your kindness drew
I really like that idea of taking the sort of story of a song as well. I don't know if other people have been doing that, but that's a cool idea, not only to take a line or a concept, but also maybe the wider story. I've got a confession that I don't really like Come Thou Fount of Every Blessing. I don't really understand it. But
why?
Is that line, you know, prone to wander, that always, that's the line that strikes me, and I do like that bit of it. I always get confused about the Ebenezer and wonder what Scrooge is doing in the song. But so yeah, maybe I can just stick with this one.
He did a really cool thing, and actually, I've been listening to Caroline Cobb after the Wideout, and she did the concert there. And it's that starting with just a straight up take of the word "wander, prone to wander, Lord, I feel it." I think was his first line, and then just expanding off that. She does that with Nothing But the Blood of Jesus in her Passover song with somebody. And yeah, I think it's a really, really interesting idea, those sort of public domain songs, and being able to just take that lyric and use it as your springboard. But also just like, he's got a really simple structure there. It's just verses. It's just that it's a hymn kind of structure, but it doesn't feel as hymny, if that makes sense. It still feels really modern and fresh. Very good.
I think
really like
going
it.
Back to what you were saying, Sam, about the original hymn, for me, when I read Eric's story of the song that he wrote about the original hymn writer, it's sort of given to me a richness to the original hymn as well as his new song as well. So it feels like it sort of kind of made the original hymn bigger and richer than it was to me before. Probably I will sing it now with a better understanding, I think.
Yeah. I don't know if anyone's mentioned, it feels like maybe it could have like a really simple refrain. It's a lot of words and feels like maybe there could be a... So just a suggestion, Eric, to have a think about. Like just a little exhale moment. Fantastic. And finally, Emma, you're going to share from your group.
Yes, so I've chosen David McGregor's song, and he's based it on a hymn that I didn't know from 1873, written by William Pennyfather, called Jesus Stand Among Us. And he sort of started writing a tune, and then he felt he wanted to update the lyrics. So he set them to a really beautiful tune with a very Celtic feel and has added a bridge. I'm not a great fan of a bridge, I will confess, but I feel it... Sometimes in a hymn, you just go verse, 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 and you don't have time to think, to reflect, to breathe, as you say, Sam. And so this bridge, which is just a sort of gentle R, gives a bit of room to the singer to actually think about what they're singing. So what I like about the tune is it's really easy to pick up, but not in the sense that it's predictable or boring. It's just this just lovely singable tune, really nice melody. And as I say, this bridge allows this space to think and reflect on the lyrics, particularly leading into the final verse, which is, it says, with renewed devotion, we'll walk your way, watching every morning for your forever day. So yeah, I really, really like it.
Jesus, come among us in your risen grace. Let this time of worship be a holy place. Breathe your spirit gently into every soul. Let your peace and healing make the broken whole.
Really great melody.
Yeah, and like a simple song, just four very short lines each verse. Yeah, I can definitely see people using that.
Yeah,
it's a great feel as well. Like I don't think I'd write anything like that. And yeah, really cool.
Great work, David. Okay, we're just going to hear a little montage of a few more songs that some of the team leaders have put forward. So we're going to hear Philip Laycock's Seek First the Kingdom of God, Chloe Rose's Psalm 117, Gav Ball's Those Who Hope in You, and Richard Clarkson's Morning is Waking.
When life's distractions get in the way, remind me to seek you. When all things added lead me astray, help me to find the way. Help me seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. The Redeemer's name be
Strength or rise?
Sunlight is rising, birdsong is breaking into the dawn. Praise the Creator, bringer of new life. Praise to the Maker of each new morn. Heat of the noontime rising like incense. Fruitful the new vine, fertile the land. Praise for the blessing of the day's labor, working and resting, gifts from God's hand. 12-song
challenge. Okay, so our challenge for August, which for many of us is a holiday month, so often hard for people to write something or get something done, but we're hopefully giving you a nice, easy challenge, and it doesn't necessarily have to be very long. It's going to be songs of adoration. So I don't know what you guys think of when you think of songs of adoration. I kind of grew up in the 90s, and we had a lot of Matt Redman and Vineyard, and there was a lot of talk of intimacy with God, and so you had quite a lot of yes, songs that kind of were drawing close to God and speaking of love in that way, and kind of a quieter, more intimate form of worship. I probably should, again, confess that I possibly had a bit of a reaction then against those kind of songs, because I wrote my dissertation for LST on the subject of Jesus is My Girlfriend, and sort of critiquing. The language got very romantic for a while. I don't know if you guys remember that. It started, in my view, becoming a bit kind of slushy and a bit like a kind of teenage infatuation more than a relationship with the God of the universe. But having said that, I still think that there is lots and lots of space for songs of adoration. And in fact, I think in recent years, with recent sort of trends of what we've been writing songs about, maybe this is a good moment for writing some of these songs again, because maybe we've sort of lost this a little bit. So some things that Joel has fed to me, and then I'll come to you guys for your thoughts and ideas as well. Joel's firstly suggested songs that focus more on who God is than what God does or has done. So really quite sort of personal songs about who God is. Might be a way, or songs that respond to an aspect of God's character. So you might take a particular aspect of his love or his care, and you might kind of have a more kind of personal response to that. And then he's also put just songs that speak of love, worship, intimacy. And I guess that's probably the first thing that comes to my mind, is that sense of, to me, probably quite simple, probably quite quiet. But for those moments where, you're intending to for the congregation to draw close to God and to express kind of things that aren't just facts, but that are, I guess, more connected with emotions and how we feel about God, and inspire that kind of worship in people. Mm. So that's a few brief ideas. Does anyone else want to pitch in with thoughts or suggestions?
I was thinking around this quite a lot, thinking about what we tend to see in our church now and how quickly I think they move away from God to me. Mm. And I grew up before you, Sam, so I was thinking back a little bit further. And in the church where I became a Christian, we had the Mission Praise hymn book. I don't know if you remember that.
Yeah.
But I reckon most churches will still have a copy. And I was remembering songs that we were singing then, things like Majesty, which very much focus on who God is. So I would say just grab a Mission Praise and have a flick through. Yeah, and you'll see lots of these short devotional choruses. Mm. And there was one based on one of the doxologies. And I think doxologies are just a great place to start. So there's one called Ascribe Greatness to Our God, the Rock, based on Deuteronomy 32, which again is a short song about the greatness of God. And then things like Immortal Invisible, which is based on the doxology from 1 Timothy, which says, "Now to the King Eternal, Immortal, Invisible, the only God, be honour and glory forever and ever." I think doxologies are a brilliant place to start. And then my third thing is where people have encounters with God in Scripture. So, for example, Isaiah's vision, or my personal favourite is Ezekiel's vision, where he has this amazing vision of God in the first chapter. And then verse 28 says, "Like the appearance of a rainbow in the clouds on a rainy day, so was the radiance around him." And it wasn't this was the glory of God or even the likeness of the glory of God, but the appearance of the likeness of the glory of the Lord, that he was so bright. It was sort of three steps removed. So so for me, I just find going to these sort of visions and doxologies really will help me to write well, I think.
Brilliant. Love that. That's really helpful. Thanks, Emma.
Yeah, I kind of, my mind kind of went to those 90s songs, and Emma, you said they're simple. That's one thing I thought about, is there is a simplicity to a lot of these songs which are really devotional, and I think a lot of them also actually kind of came out of a place of devotion. And I know Paul Baloch has talked about this on some of his songwriting videos, where some of the ideas for the songs, they come out, he just, you know, will sit and just worship and sing lines, and then all of a sudden a line will come out and be like, oh, that could be a song, and it just kind of develops. And so I think that's a really helpful maybe starting place for people, is to just sit and worship God and then try and just do that in your own words and see what comes out, and build upon that.
Mm. Yeah, I like that too.
I think where I went when I got the thing for this month was how I think as a worship leader, I'm often looking for that song of adoration, and it starts well, and then it goes into the eyes. It goes into, so like the example I had in was a song called You Are Holy. It's a two-part song, and our church loves it to pieces. I think it's Mark Imbeden, but I might have got his last name wrong. And it starts like, "You are holy, you are mighty, you are worthy, worthy of praise." And then it goes, "I will." And I'm like, can we have just stayed there? I think I think that the way I want to try and approach it is to have the restraint not to, like what Joel's saying, like, don't touch on the eyes. Like, can we just restrain ourselves for a second and just sit in the upward facing? Because as a worship leader, I'm actually genuinely lacking those songs. But also, like, another way that I think I'd be interested to try and restrain myself is that often when I try and write these songs, I end up throwing a lot of bits about God into a song. And it kind of just, like, there's no one focus on one part of his character. It's often like, yeah, you're faithful, and you're this, and you're that, and you're that, and you're that. And it's like, whilst I think that's good and there's place for that, I wonder if, like, what it would look like to have a song that really focuses in on one part and decides to stay there. So it doesn't just sit in the restraint of writing a song just about God, but sits in restraint on this one bit of God and gives a real focus to that and a real, a really intense focus on that one bit, instead of like bursting off in 100 different directions, but really, really honing in on one thing.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. That's really helpful, guys. I think we've fleshed out quite a bit there. I suppose I think there's probably going to be two reactions to this. Some people will be like, yes, finally, Songs of Adoration. I've been waiting for this for ages. And this is just going to kind of pour out of them, maybe in the way that Andrew suggests, of just kind of having a personal quiet time or prayer time over the summer. And then it just kind of leading into a something that you've written down. I think other people might be a bit like me, might be a bit cynical or a bit fed up with a certain type of adoration song or intimate song. And maybe, again, that's okay. Maybe just, you know, identify what it is that you struggle with and then write something different to that. Write something that is the way. I know when I, back in the day, when I was struggling with this stuff, I remember thinking in my dissertation, I wrote about, you know, the intimacy that we are invited to within the Trinity to me feels like a much healthier way of talking about the intimacy we have with God rather than a kind of girlfriend, boyfriend, romantic intimacy. And out of the back of that, I wrote this song, some people might know, called Jesus Lead Us to the Father, which is this really short round, but it was that sense of drawing near to God through Jesus in the power of the Holy Spirit and having an intimacy with God that was, you know, Trinitarian, but hopefully in the way the song was written, still had that kind of encounter part to it. So, yeah, you know, I think with all of these, we're giving you ideas. Take it where you want to go. Fantastic. Well, thank you, team, for your input. It's been brilliant to be with you. Thanks to everyone for listening. And we really hope that you get inspired this month. We hope if you go on holiday that you have a lovely break, or if you're off work. And if you're not off work and you're thinking, what are you talking about having a holiday? Then, you know, blessings to you as well if you're keeping working throughout this month. We just need to have a final song, a featured song. And this time is actually going to be one of the ones from this month's remakes and spin-offs. This is David Brackenbury's, I don't know whether it's a remake or a spin-off of, it's probably a remake of the Massa Clark song, All the Earth is Waiting. And he has, dedicated this to our good friend Pete Assad and his love of jumping in first and being the first person to post. So we hope you enjoy this and have a great summer. Pete.
Bye.
Peter
Sad is waiting, slowly cogitating, ready for the challenge to land. His mouse, he keeps on pressing, so outlook keeps refreshing, eager to respond to Joel's command. Oh, he is quick as a flash.
Praise, 'cause he is quick as
Yeah.